Shalom, this is Billy Brown and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks near Branson, Missouri. We have been, of course, taking the correct rule of Bible study and rightly dividing the peoples, the Jews, the nations, and the church, 1 Corinthians 10:32. Now, if you're born again and you're a new creature and you're in the body of Christ, all the Bible is for you, but not all the Bible is about you. The Bible that is particularly about you is the New Testament letters. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we've said before that Jesus was primarily coming to the Jews and offering them a kingdom. When the kingdom was rejected, chapter 14 on, Jesus begins to share the realities of the new day when the Holy Spirit will come. Now, after that, then, to the church, letters are written. And the New Testament letters are to, for, and about the church. They tell you who you are because you're in Christ Jesus. You think that you could live an overcoming life just in the four Gospels. You could not. You would know that Jesus died, but you wouldn't know why he died. You wouldn't know that you could walk in the light as he is in the light. You wouldn't know that you were seated at the right hand of the Father. All this came by revelation, and primarily, most of it came through the revelation of Paul. Now, the New Testament letters. The first one ever written was 1 Thessalonians. And it had been the people of the New Testament church at that time. This was their very first letter. They had been knowing that Jesus is coming again. They had heard about how he walked 40 days on the earth and he came in and out among them. And so they're looking at for him at any time. But something begins to happen. People start to fall asleep. They start to die. And so they wonder, they don't know about this. What's happening? We came to this, we thought Jesus would come. He would set up his kingdom. And so God gives them the first New Testament letter primarily for this very, to inform them about this situation. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also, which sleep in Jesus, will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, this means this is doctrine, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Oh, what comforting words. Let's dissect this just a little bit. Some had fallen asleep. They were concerned about this. But he says unto them, verse 14, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which are asleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Well, they're absent from the body, present with the Lord, we learn in another revelation of Paul's. But their bodies went to the dirt. They went to the grave. And they're asleep in Jesus, the body. It's not yet redeemed, but it shall be. And he says that when the Lord comes, we won't precede them, but he will come from heaven. The first thing we're going to hear is a shout. I believe that's the shout of God, Jesus. I believe it'll say, come up hither. Then we'll hear the voice of the archangel and then the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, he's going to bring them with him. Like, for instance, my husband, Kent. He will be with Jesus when Jesus comes to meet us in the air. His spirit, his body down on earth in the grave in Pryor, Oklahoma, will rise up to meet his spirit. It will be glorified. He will have a glorified body then. He has a heavenly covering now. Of course, he's not without a covering, not without a heavenly tabernacle, we're told, but his earthly suit will also join with him and be glorified. Sometimes I say it might be kind of fun if I could go to that Pryor Cemetery, Pryor, Oklahoma Cemetery, and stand there because my husband, my sister, my mother, my father, their graves are all there together, and it would be so fun to see the Lord in the air coming and Kent and Pat and Mom and Dad and their bodies come up out of that grave. And so then we will go up too to meet him in the air. This is at the beginning of the last 7-year period, the last Shemitah year of the 7-year. Remember, we went through the cycles of years. You can go back and start July 16, and you can see where we began to study in these things, and we did study the Shemitah year. I believe it's well marked for you. So at the beginning of the 7 years, the coming of the Lord is a 7-year period. At the first of us, he meets us in the air. He meets the church in the air. And there we are caught up with him to meet him in the air, and we shall ever be with the Lord. Now, this is the rapture of the church. The word rapture, some people fuss about it, but you don't have to exactly have the word rapture, but it's a catching away. It's a meeting, the meeting in the air. We meet Jesus in the air. Now, there are several judgments. There's a great white throne judgment, which will not come until after the 1,000 years of the millennial reign. We don't take a part in that. There's the judgment of the wicked dead when they are resurrected. But this, we do have a judgment seat to go to. And King James calls it the judgment seat of Christ. Some translations of one of these verses say of God, but it is where we will. Here it is in Romans 14:10. Why do you judge your brother? Or why do you set at naught for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear. It's written to the church. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now, this is not a judgment seat to see whether you make it or not. If you make it this far, you're in heaven. You'll make it to heaven. But at this place, you're going to receive reward for the deeds done in your body, or the Bible speaks of some works there will be wood, hay, and stubble will be consumed, I think, by the glory of God. And gold, silver, and precious stones, those building blocks that you used, will be rewarded. He's a great rewarder. Now, you cannot go I believe that we will, some place between being caught up with him in the air, we will go to the judgment seat of Christ, wherewith we, and at that point, anything wood, hay, and stubble about us will go away. And we will be purified completely going into heaven. Now, this judgment seat of Christ, like I said, it's not to see whether or not you make it. We have the salvation by grace. Grace through faith. The grace of God allows us to be born again. Through faith, believing in our hearts and saying with our mouths, we receive him as our Lord and Savior. Now, General Booth, I read in a book, General Booth was the founder of the Salvation Army. And he went to heaven. And he didn't go right into the city itself, but he was at the outer place where many people go that I read about. And General Booth there, he got to that place and a book was presented to him. And in this book, by the angels who stood there before that gate going into the city, and that beautiful paradise and park with the flowers and the singing and singing grass and singing flowers and all the beautiful things people describe, they got a book to see whether or not he's supposed to come now. And at the top of one page, it was written, it was written his name, and then it was written, sins committed before new birth. The page was blank. Then the next page, sins committed since new birth. The page was blank. The blood of Jesus had covered it all. But then there was another section, the deeds done in your body. And then out from the gate came the Lord Jesus Christ, and with him were some, he was accompanied by a great deal of singing angels and saints. But two of the people General Booth knew, and one of them was a man. He had come to the Lord through the Salvation Army, and he was thanking General Booth for that. And then he said, "What about my sons? I left my sons," and he had not accepted the Lord. Have you ministered to him?" And then there was a woman. She had the same kind of a testimony, and hers included that she had left destitute children. Had he helped take care of them? And so General Booth knew he had not done these things, and he begged to go back so that he could do them. And we know that he did a wonderful job of it. The Salvation's been responsible for Salvation Army, so many souls, and taking care of so many people. So, of course, I can only imagine the reward that General Booth is going to have in heaven for the deeds done in his body. So the deeds done in your body, you've still got time to do some good ones. And besides that, God is such a rewarder that a smile that you've given, he'll reward. A cup of cold water that you've given, he will reward. So the judgment seat of Christ, we want to be prepared for it. We have a responsibility. You know, I worked for Brother Kenneth E. Hagin. Such a man of God, such integrity, such honesty, such love. And one day he came into my office where I was editing books. He turned around, took hold of the doorknob, about to go out, and then he turned around back to me and he said, "I live every moment of my life conscious of that moment when I will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and answer for this ministry." Oh, it was about a year later, I was doing a book for Lester Sumrall. He came into my office, he turned around, went out the door, took hold of the doorknob, turned around to me and said, "I live every moment of that of my life conscious of that moment when I will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and answer for every dime that came into this ministry." So there is a responsibility. There is, yes, salvation is free. Yes, we are saved by grace through faith. The Bible says some are going to make it, they're going to be saved as if by fire. But there is rank in resurrection. The Bible speaks in Hebrews 11 of those who did certain things that they might have a better resurrection. Jesus comes and he says he will pass out the rewards and jobs for the work. This he says in the book of Revelation, for what's done in our bodies. And so I think even new assignments, heaven's assignments, where you go in, the rank you're going in on, you'll be happy wherever you are. But, oh, how wondrous it will be to be able to give God glory for deeds, good deeds, righteous deeds that we have done in our bodies, bringing glory to our precious Father. This is Billy Brim, and you can reach us at billybrim.org, BILLYEBRIM.ORG. Join us at noon Wednesdays for prayer. Call us at 1-800-972-3447 or write Box 40 Branson. Shalom until tomorrow.